Ja, kan die? Okay, good afternoon everyone. My name is Johan Michielsen. I'm a BI consultant at Avanade. And I'm going to give you a presentation about successfully implementing master data services. The goal of this presentation is providing you with the information that I got during projects at clients, where I gained a lot of knowledge and best practices. Looking at the agenda, first I will dive into a case where all the presentation, all the session is based on. Then I will give a description about master data management, where a couple of tools are used for, like MDS and DQS. And then eventually I will conclude the session with the master data services working together with data quality services in a nice demo. Then there are references and time for questions and answers. The case description. It's about the Biertje company. The Biertje company is produces beer and is growing very fast in the market right now. Looking at their organizational structure and IT structure, a lot of hurdles have to be taken to make that possible, to make that happen. So the Biertje company produces a lot of types of beer, like Heineken, Amstel, Brand, Wiekse Witte, you call it. And they sell their products to different supermarkets, liquor stores, gas stations, restaurants, pubs. And everything is, if you look in the IT structure, everything is organized, done by several systems, like a CRM system, ERP, and an online catalog. Now, what are the challenges in the Biertje company when they want to grow? Well, if you look at how the information is provided, so looking at customer information and product information, this information is provided by several sources, entered into different systems by different people, and this really goes wrong. So, for example, you have one customer that that does exist in the CRM system but not exist in the ERP system, or you have a customer that is that does exist in both systems, but the addresses are slightly different. Yeah? And what about the problem a customer faced when he ordered a product in the online catalog? It seems to be that that product couldn't be ordered yet because it was not right in the systems. So, not very nice. And what about a decision maker, the manager, who wants to have a report, monthly report? And to create such a report, he has to manually extract data from the different systems, load them into Excel, and then a couple of days of cleaning, and filtering, and correcting, etc. And eventually he has his report to make decisions on. Well, I think it's not a good basis to make decisions on such data. So what causes this? Well, you have customers that are not satisfied because they are ordering products, but they couldn't be ordered eventually. The operation within the company is not effective and efficient as you would hope so. Decision making is very difficult. The manager had to take a lot of actions, do a lot of actions to create a report. So not very handy. So I think that master data management could help the Biertje company with all those problems. So what is master data management? I got the first line from Wikipedia. Master data management comprises a set of processes and tools that consistently defines and manages the master data of an organization. What you actually want is a single version of the truth in a single location. And you have to define, and you need a lot of processes to maintain this data. You have to point people that they are accountable and responsible for pieces of data. So you need to have security in place to ensure that. You also want to ensure data integrity before you can use business rules or workflows. And for master data management, you also need tools to support those processes I just mentioned as efficient and effectively as possible. Well, I already mentioned master data. What is exactly master data? Well, first, what is transactional data? Transactional data is the data that supports the business applications. Transactional data, you can think of numbers, dates, and times. The decision-making people, the managers who create the reports, they play around with analytical data. So, aggregations, ad-hoc queries, data mining, forecasting. And this transactional data and analytical data both use master data, which is in the center of it. Master data could be seen as the critical nonce of the business, so the business objects, the dimensions. So examples are people like customers, vendors, and employees. Things like products, items, parts, places like countries, cities, office locations, and concepts like contracts, warranties, licenses. Now, within master data, you have four types. The first one is reference data. Reference data is master data that is only used within one application or one process. You have master data, which is used by several applications, several processes. You have enterprise master data, which is used throughout all the enterprise, so all the processes, all the departments all over the world within the enterprise. And you also have market master data, which is actually master data that is provided via the web, for example, and which could be used by different companies. So how will the Beecher company IT structure look like when we implemented master data management? Well, it could look like this. So the customer and product information is provided by several sources, but it is maintained by responsible, accountable users in only one location in master data services. You can automate data flow by going through data quality services where it's automatically cleaned, or you can enter the product and customer information directly in master data services by the responsible users. Well, from master data services, this central location, the data can be provided to the different systems like CRM, ERP, and online catalog. These are called the subscribing systems. And from these systems, data is extracted and loaded in a data warehouse. And the data in this data warehouse, defined as fact tables and dimensions, and maybe you have a cube or whatever, is very easy to use for reporting. So that manager doesn't need any cleansing anymore or manual task. He just opens his report and he has immediately his data and can make good decisions. Now, one of the tools that we can use within master data management is master data services. Master data services enables an organization to centrally store the master data and maintain it. Within a tool, it is very easy to model your data, creating models, entity, attributes, members, creating hierarchies, ensuring that the integrity of the data is okay by using business rules and approvals via workflows. You can define security, that only the right people can access the right data. There's auditing in place. So everything what you do within master data services is locked. You have versioning in place. And it's possible to integrate master data services via external systems using, for example, SSAS or BizTalk. Well, here you see a nice screen dump of master data services in the 2012 release 0. RC0 version. Okay. Now looking at the architecture, master data services only ships with the 64-bit versions of SQL Server 2008 R2 and further. If you look at SQL Server 2008 R2, only the enterprise and data center editions contain MDS. And if you look at SQL Server 2012, the enterprise and business intelligence version contains MDS. Now, master data service application consists of a database and a web application, which are linked with each other. And this is done within the master data services configuration manager. So there you can create a database, there you can create a website and link them together. Now looking at this picture, at the very bottom you have the database. On top of that you have a WSUF API layer. And with this layer, the newly added feature Excel plugin talks directly. And also the master data manager, so the website of master data services, also directly calls methods in this WSUF API. And the best practice is when you create SSES projects or custom.NET applications, please always talk directly to this layer and not directly to the database, because when in future versions the database changes, the schema, then your code could break, and that's not what you want. So always talk with that WSUF API layer. A key part of master data services is modeling, because a model is where all the data exists. A model is data that is related to each other. For example, data related to customers, data related to vendors, data related to brands, and can be seen as some kind of cube or a database. A model consists of entities, which could be seen as a dimension in the cube world or a table. And an entity consists of attributes, columns, and members, rows. Now looking at the Beecher company, I have defined the following models. That's the customers model, which contains the customer entity, the customer type, the customer's entity contains addresses, the customer name and addresses. The customer types defines, okay, it's a supermarket or it's a liquor store or a gas station. A customer sells particular beer types, so Heineken or Brandbier or Wiekse Witte. So it sells brands, which is stored in the customer brands entity. And the brands that can be sold is stored in the shared customer brands entity, which is read-only in this case, but I will come back to this later. You also have the breweries model, which contains a brewery's entity that stores the brewery name and the addresses of the breweries where all the beers are brewed. And different breweries brands. So here's also what you see, a link that brewery brews those brands. And also this model contains a brands entity, which is also read-only. And then finally you have the brands model, which contains only one entity, brands, where all the brands are stored. And these brands are only entered there, maintained there, and shared with the other models. So that's why they are read-only in the other models. And this sharing is done using business rules and workflows, which I will show you in a demo soon. What I also show in a demo is using the Excel plugin to batch-wise execute or maintain data, change data. And what I also show in demos is the staging process. So adding new brands to the brands entity. And I will do that in the old way, SQL Server 2008, R2 way, and in the new way, the 2012 way. Okay, let's go to a demo where I'm going to show you how models are built and how you can explore the data. The building of models is done in system administration functional area. So this is what you see here is the UI of the Master Data Manager. Here see a list of models I created. So brands, breweries and customers. Let's manage some entities. For example, the customers entities. Let's go to the customers entity. Let's edit this one. Now, an entity has a name. And of course it has a couple of attributes. And what's new in SQL Server 2012 is that you can immediately check here a checkbox that the system code attribute is automatically created, generated. So an auto-increment field it is. So let's take a look at the attribute customer type and edit it. An attribute can be of the data type freeform. So it can contain a number or a text or a datetime. It can be domain-based, which is actually a foreign key relationship to another entity. And that's the case with the customer type. It is a foreign key relationship with the entity customer type. Another data type is file, where you can store files in. You can add a particular attribute to a change tracking group, which can be used by business rules. And then you can say, okay, if this value changes, then I have to do this. I have to kick off a workflow, for example. I will show you that in another demo. So, enable change tracking. So, let's go to the customer's model, and let's explore its data. The GUI is improved, so Microsoft listened very carefully to all the remarks that customers made about the UI. So it didn't perform very well and it wasn't that user-friendly. So they converted it to a new UI in Silverlight, and I can say it works very nice right now. What I did here is I opened the entity customers. As you can see here, and there you see all the data in it. So all the customer names and the addresses, and also the customer type. So probably Albert Heijn is a supermarket. And what's newly added to SQL Server 2012 is that you can jump to the related entity. So in this case, I want to jump to the entity that contains the supermarket. So let's jump to that. A new page will be opened. And there it is. Right now I'm in the entity customer type and it's immediately filtered on the supermarket. And what you can also do right now is check, okay, to which entities are related to this supermarket. So you can click on that one. Whoop. Then it will go to the customer's entity and filter only the supermarkets. So very handy to jump between related entities. So this is a quick lap around how modeling is done and how you can explore models. So let's go back to the slides again. Okay, now it's time, demo time. The first demo what I'm going to show you is the staging process. As I already mentioned, is the old SQL Server 2008 R2 way of staging. Is still supported by 2012, but it will be deprecated in future versions, so take that into account. The reason that they have put it in this version is that for customers, of course, otherwise they have to rebuild all their packages, and that's not very handy. So in 2012, the staging is also called entity-based staging. Every entity in every model has its own staging table, called stg.entityName_leaf, and also a store procedure called stg UDP underscore entity name leaf, which and this store procedure actually processes the stage data into the entities. Here you see a list of all the staging tables and all the store procedures that that were created when I created the models. Now I'm going to show you how you can stage data the old way and the new way. So I'm now going to open an SES package with one data flow. And in this data flow, data is extracted from a branch input file. The records are counted, the members, and metadata is added, and eventually all the attributes are pivoted. So every attribute will get its own row. And for staging the old way, you need two output tables, one for storing members and one for storing attributes. So first let me show you the input file. Demos, MDS, demo 1, input, branch. So this input file contains a couple of columns, code, name, alcohol, percentage. With three records. These records I'm going to extract and load eventually in my master data services application. And let's go to the branch entity. Right now I have seven members in it, so remember this one. Okay. So let's run this package. Execute package. I hope to see all checkboxes. Checked. Okay, done. So right now all the three members are staged into the database. So let's dive into the database. The master data services database I created is called TechDays 2012. So let's go into the tables. Here you have the table where the members are staged. And this is the table where the attributes are staged. So let's take a look at that. So let's scroll down. Now the records are not batched yet, so processed yet. So that's why the batch ID is null right now. And here you can see the three types of beers that I was going to stage. Irish Stout, Kopsko and Guller with the right coders. And what about the attributes? Well, they are stored in the member attributes table. Also not batched, so I can also filter on the batch ID 0. And there you will see for every member, I had two attributes that I have to stage, namely the alcohol percentage and if it's shared, yes or not. But I will come back later about that attribute, what that means. So okay, so everything is in the staging area right now. Going to the user interface of 2012, integration management. If you go to the import page, here you will see all the staged data and when it has been processed. Well, I staged my data the old way, but it's not in the list. Everything is already processed. And that's right, so the old way is not supported via the UI. So that's why I have to run my script, a manual script. You can also put it, of course, in SCCS directly. So here's a script where I call the store procedure staging sweep, which stages all the data in the branch model. So let's run that. Okay, completed. So let's go back to the database again, and Let's check if the members now have a batch ID. Yes, the members now have a batch ID, and they have been processed without errors. And I can see, looking at the error code, that no errors have occurred. Okay, which description belongs to this error code is only can be found on the internet, which is not handy. So what I once did at a client is creating a table with error codes and related descriptions. So if you want to create a report or whatever, you can use that table and get those descriptions. But yeah, this number says that everything went okay. Let's take a look at member attributes. Also the same batch ID, 177. Also the same error code, so everything went fine. And there's also a staging batch table. Probably my batch 177 is also mentioned. Yes, and there you will see that three records, three members, have been staged and processed as six attributes, so two per member. And that everything went okay, so no errors. So that is staging the old way. And yeah, let's take a look if they are actually in the user interface right now. If they are really loaded into the entity. So let's explore the branch model and the branch entity. And there they are. There you see the idle start, the Skopsko and the Gulder in my list. So they are successfully loaded into master data services. Okay, now let's do it the new way. Like it has to be done in SQL Server 2012. So let's open that package. One data flow. Looking into the data flow, it's really simple right now. So it's extracting data from an input file, counts the members, adds some metadata, and eventually loads the data in one table. Every entity has its own staging table. In the case of brands, the staging table is called STG brands leaf. Let's take a look at the input file. What can we expect to be imported? Also brands. Okay, two other brands are mentioned here. Staroberno, I can't pronounce it. Sakara Gold and Meister Max. I think they are Egyptian. Okay. What I'm first going to do is check a checkbox in the brands model. Entities, brands, whoop. So what I'm going to do right now, I want that the master data services automatically generates the code for me. Okay, so I will do that. Start with one. Okay. So when I import my new brands, I won't provide the code, although it's in the file. Okay, but I won't provide it to the staging process. And when I process the stage data, the code will be automatically generated by master data services. So, okay. Let's run this package. Okay, all checkboxes. Very good. Let's go to the database. Let's see if they are actually loaded in that staging table. Here it is. Open it. There's already a lot of test data in it. Yes, here are my records. And what I also did in the SES package is providing a batch tag with this batch of data. And this batch tag is eventually used to actually process the data into the entities. And right now my batch tag is a daytime value, which I created in the package. Let's show in the derived column. So the batch tag is here created here. Okay, so now I can process this data via the UI. Because the new way, entity base way, is shown into the UI. Ah, there's my batch. with the batch stack I just showed to you. And the status, it's not running. Three records are waiting, no errors. So I can start my batch here, start batch. But I'm going to do it with a script, because that's much cooler. So let's open that script. So what I do here right now is executing the store procedure related to that brand's entity staging table. I'm passing a version name and also providing a batch tag, which is the batch tag I just mentioned. So okay, let's stage them. Now commands completed successfully. Also, a record will be added to the batch table I just showed to you. This one, probably also with the batch tag. No, not really. Okay, but it should be processed here, so let me refresh this one. It's not running, so probably I know my error. I used the wrong batch tag. This is an old batch tag I used in another test. So what I do right now, go to the branch staging table. These are the last records that I've added. Copy my batch tag. Copy paste it in here. And let's run it again. Go to the UI, refresh it. Yeah, so my batch is now completed, three records, no errors. And now it's, I hope, also in the batch table. Yes. So here's my batch tag, and it was about three members that were loaded. And everything went okay, so perfect. So let's go to the UI and explore my newly added brands. So let's see if the Egyptian brands are there. And yes, there are my three brands. It's auto-numbered, so these coders have been auto-generated. So that's how staging goes in SQL Server 2008. You can use the old way and the new way. Okay, on the branch entity, I defined two business rules. One business rule checks if a particular value in one of the members has changed. If so, then the attribute shared will be put on no. And then a second business rule will be triggered, which is looking to the shared values. If he sees a no, then a workflow will be started. Well, what is exactly a business rule? A business rule, with a business rule, you can enforce data integrity, completeness, and accuracy. A business rule is defined as an if-then-else structure with a condition and an action. And is applied when you validate the data. So via my business rule, I'm going to start a custom workflow. A custom workflow can be created with a custom .NET assembly, or you can call a SharePoint workflow. And there's also a very simple workflow out of the box in Master Data Services, just when something changes, when a validation occurs, you can send an email to a user or a group. But right now I'm going to use a custom workflow where you can, and with that you can create a lot of complex business rules. Workflows don't work out of the box. So what you have to do is to install a service. It's called the SQL Server MDS Workflow Integration Service. I've described those steps in my blog. So if you need to install the service, please refer to my blog. And what's also very important when you have installed your service, you have to configure it very carefully. I will show you that in a demo. Well, how does a service actually work? When you are working in master data services in the UI, you change data. Okay, then a business rule is triggered, and this business rule will eventually trigger a custom workflow, and messages are passed. So from the business rule, a message is passed to the custom workflow. This message is first handled by the service broker in SQL Server, which puts the message, it's an XML message, in the external action queue. From there on, it's picked up by the just installed SQL Server MDS workflow integration service, which then eventually calls our custom .NET assembly, which has where a method is called with a parameter having that XML message. And then you can do all what you want. What I want to show you in this upcoming demo is that sharing entity stuff. So in the branch model, we have one branch entity where we keep where we maintain all the brands. And at this moment, also in 2012, there's no out-of-the-box functionality to share entities with other models. So I'm going to solve that with business rules and custom workflows to synchronize the brands with the other models. So what it actually does is when a user updates a member, a business rules is triggered, which calls eventually the custom workflow. This custom workflow reads members of a subscription view. A subscription view is actually a view on top of the brands entity. And in the code, then the brands are synchronized with the other models. And then when the synchronization has been done successfully, the shared attribute will be set to yes, to mention that synchronization has been successful. Thus, so let's show you that in the demo. First, business rules. On the brands model, let's go to system administration, manage, business rules. I go to the brands model, brands entity, and there I defined two types of business rules, and they have a priority assigned to them. So when I apply my validation rules, the first business rule that is triggered is the reset shared attribute. And what it does is setting the shared attribute to no. So let's take a look at it, how this works. So here you see the expression of the business rule and what it actually does. From if an attribute changed in change group 1, then set the shared attribute to no. That's done in the first business rule. And the second business rule is going to call our workflow, custom workflow. So let's dive into that one. So what it checks here is, if shared is equal to no, then I have to call my custom workflow. And important when defining a custom workflow is the workflow type, which have to be configured eventually in a configuration file. So remember this one. And for XML messages are sent thus to my custom assembly eventually, and you can say please include all the member data in the message so I can do something with it. And I am misusing those two input fields to make decisions in my code eventually. Okay. So let's go to my custom assembly. To create a custom assembly, workflow assembly, you have to create a class library project. You need a reference to the assembly Microsoft Master Data Services Workflow Type Extender. And you have to create a class that implements the interface iWorkflow type extender. And this interface only defines one method, start workflow. And the most important input parameter here is the XML message. So what I do in this code is reading the XML message, so the member code and the member name and other attributes, so I know which member has been changed. I'm logging something to the Windows application event log. I'm using a switch to check, okay, which business rule have been checked. So this name, for example, I've put in my business rule. Go back to the business rule. Whoop. So with this one, I'm going to select in my code. So if it's that business rule, then I have to execute something. And what it really does is, logging something to a text file, just to show that's also possible, and then updating the shared attribute. So it first synchronizes the newly added or the updated brands to the breweries model, and then to the customers model. And if everything went fine, then it updates the shared attribute to yes. Okay, how is sharing done? Well, I'm filtering the subscription view and the mbrands, which is in the database. Filtering on the member code, which I read from the XML message. And with the data that I return, the values, I will update the entities of the other models, the new data. So what I'm actually doing is inserting a batch of only one member into the staging area. In this case, the staging table related to that entity. And then eventually execute the store procedure to process the stage data into the entity. Now the configuration of the custom workflow is pretty difficult, or you have to do that very secure. In this directory, this is where you place your DLL. So this is my custom DLL I just created. And in this directory you also have the XML configuration file. Let's open it. And the most important part in this XML file is this one, because this is where I define my workflow name and to which assembly it's related, so the assembly I just created. And and this part really says, okay, this in this namespace, in this class, implemented the iWorkflow type extender interface. The custom workflow is eventually called via the service, and this workflow service wants to know, okay, which XML message do I have to give to that custom assembly? So you have to know that, okay, the message is located in the TechDays 2012 MDS database. So that's a setting you also have to add here. So my custom assembly is related to XML messages that can be found in the TechDays 2012 MDS database. And per workflow service, you can also define connection strings and app settings for custom stuff. So that's about the configuration of the workflow. So let's see how this works. Go back to the main screen. First, check what's in the customers brands table. Now click. No. this one. Okay, 7 members in it right now. What I'm going to do is in the parent branch entity, I'm going to change the alcohol percentage from 5 to 6, and let's see if this also is updated automatically. So let's go to the branch. Branch entity. Heineken. Alcohol percentage of 5. Let's change it to 6. Okay. So now my business rule is fired. It sets the shared attribute to no. And eventually when the workflow is executed, it will be set back to yes. But for that I have to refresh my user interface, because it's done asynchronously. And yes, it's shared. Okay, let's take a look. Customers, model. Go to the shared entity. Yes, and there I see that Heineken indeed is updated to the alcohol percentage of 6. So it seems to work. So a very handy way to share data between models using business rules and workflows. So go back to the slides again. The Excel plugin, yes. A lot of people are familiar with the Excel interface. And that's why it's very handy that there is an interface created for master data services to handle master data in a batch-wise manner. It is only shipped with SQL Server 2012, but you can also use it with SQL Server 2008 R2 by installing only master data services 2012 on top of the database engine of R2. Let me show you how you can update batch-wise data with using the Excel plugin. First, let's go to the customers. In the customers table, you see a lot of C1000. Well, a couple of weeks ago, C1000 has been taken over by Jumbo, so I have to rename them to Jumbo. So let's do that batch-wise in Excel. Open Excel. The add-in can be downloaded from the internet. It's for free. And there's also a link in the Master Data Services homepage where you can immediately install your add-in. So I already installed it. And when you install it successfully, you get a tab here, Master Data. I connect to my MDS server. I go to my customers model. To my customers, click click. Okay, so here are all my members fetched from the customers entity. Let's change C1000 to Jumbo. So the color shows that something has been changed, so very good. And now let's publish it. Publish. Review which changes are going to be published. These ones. Publish. Okay. Very easy, very fast. So let's take a look in the customer's entity then. Yes, and there I don't see C1000 anymore. Everything is updated by Excel. So very handy to batch-wise update the data. And also the security that's in place in master data services also works in Excel. Very nice to see. And what you can also do here is a couple of slides ago, demos ago, I showed you how to create entities and models. But you can also create entities here in Excel. For example, you just take... you just create a table here. And populate it with data, and then you can select all this table and then create an entity for which model, customers, entity name, blah. These are the columns. This way. Okay, and then an entity will be created. Yeah, let's take a look here. Have to refresh it. And there's my block entity without any data, of course. So yeah, it's also really easy right now to create entities from the Excel user interface. Very handy add-in. Don't save. Back to the slides. Yeah, the data in Master Data Services is useless when the quality is very poor. So that's where Data Quality Services comes in. So what is actually data quality? Well, data quality represents the degree to which the data is suitable for business usage. So when you have big data, you can't run your business. So bad data is bad business. And to build good quality data, you need people, you need technology and processes around it. Now, common data quality issues are, for example, standardization. And a gender code is mentioned like MFU and another system 012. The data can be incomplete, the accurate, it's not accurate, it's invalid because values beyond the range. Or you have duplicates, for example. So all common data quality issues. What are the requirements for a data quality solution? First of all, it must be able to cleanse data, correct data, to find duplicates, profiling, which are actually the numbers around cleansing about data quality. So how many values have been corrected, how many values were correct, how many were invalid, so really the numbers. And monitoring, so who did what when. And of course, this is all in place in the tool of Microsoft Data Quality Services. And what's really important to mention here is that you know how to correct data if you have the knowledge about the data. And that's why all this tool is based on a knowledge base. So it's knowledge driven. And it can be, it enables IT pros and data stewards to easily improve the quality of the data. But I'm going to show you that in a demo how that works. Let's close this one. Opening the client, Data Quality Services client. Oh yeah, one thing to mention is when SQL Server 2012 is installed, you have manually have to install the server and the client by a separate installer. So data quality service is based on a knowledge base. I already created a knowledge base for the Beach company. So let's open it. Tech Days. And a knowledge base contains domains. And a domain could be seen as a column in a table. In this example, I only have one domain, customer name, wherein all the customer names are stored, which you can see in domain values. And here you see an example that Albert Heijn is some kind of leading value, they call it. And Albert Heijn has several synonyms like AH, AH2Go and API. They all have to be outputted to Albert Heijn when I cleanse my data. And for example here, C1000 has been taken over Jumbo, so when I see C1000, it has to be converted to Jumbo. If you look at the properties of a domain, you can state here that I will use leading values as output, which I just mentioned with Albert Heijn. And when I am going to cleanse the data, the strings first, the values first have to be normalized. So apostrophes and hyphens, etc. will be removed first before the matching is done. So I showed you the domain values. You can set domain rules. Well, I've set one here as an example. It's a customer name can't be smaller than 2 characters. When that's the case, the member or the value will be invalid. You can also define term-based relations, and this is actually a search and replace functionality. So when I see a dot h dot, and it has to be corrected to a h, and then it will be picked up by these rules. It's a synonym of Albert Heijn, so eventually Albert Heijn will be outputted. So that's about term-based relationships. Well, the data in the knowledge base can be manually maintained, but you can also run a discovery, getting input data from a file or another source, SQL Server, and use the data that's in it to learn, to get more knowledge out of it. So that's a way also to extend your knowledge base, and you can also reference external data markets on, for example, Azure. And what's also in place in the knowledge base is a matching policy. So a matching policy is used to find duplicates. So for example, if you have different Albert Heijns, which of course mean the same, and with matching policy you can define they are the same and they belong to the same cluster, and as output you can choose, okay, I want to output them all, or I only want to output one unique one. So that's matching, finding duplicates. You can run projects to check if your data is well cleansed. So let's take a look at that. No, I'm going to show you that in the next demo, sorry. What you also see is administration stuff, is activity monitoring. So what did I do, what did we do, and when, by whom. And you have some configuration settings. So where is the data market located? Some general settings and log settings. So that's a quick lap around through data quality services. Back to the slides again. So the next thing I'm going to show you is the integration between master data services and data quality services using SSES. So where MDS meets DQS. It's based on the challenges that the Beecher company has. So looking at this example, it's a list of customers. And here you see, for example, different values, meaning Albert Heijn. So Albert Heijn once, Albert Heijn with an apostrophe, and AH with periods between it, and an A and Albert Heijn. All different kind of forms of Albert Heijn. You also see C1000, has to be renamed, of course, to Jumbo. And an unknown customer. Now, how am I going to cleanse this data? Well, I'm going to load new customers from a file. These customers are cleansed using the knowledge base. I just filled with all the rules. So the domain rules, for example. When a customer is correct, for example, Albert Heijn, or corrected, if the confidence is more than 80%, then okay, the data will be staged and eventually loaded into the database, into the entities. And when it's not the case, then you have, for example, auto-suggest values or invalid values or new values, then they will be loaded into the incorrect data database, wherein one table exists. I created my own. So I'm going to show you that, how that looks like in a demo. First, play around with the data using a quality project. I'm going to open the project. No, creating a new one. New quality project. Tech Days 2012. I'm basing my project on my own knowledge base. I'm going to cleanse my data. Next. The data source of my data is an Excel file. Let's browse to it. CSV file. Tell my customers. Oh yeah, I have to map the columns that I want to cleanse. So in my customer file, new customer file, I have a name column. And I'm going to map that with my customer name and domain. And then I don't see my button because of the resolution. damn. Okay, there's no scroll bar. I'm going to close this one. Let's do that again. Connect. No, this is not gonna work. Customers, map it again. The first row contains the header. Map it. Okay, I have really problems here. Okay, I'm not able to show this in this project because of the resolution. Closing this. Okay, I will show you it immediately in the SES solution, which does exactly the same, only it doesn't automate it. So first open the text file, how it looks like. So here are all my records. So I'm going to import that one. So what I'm doing here right now in this package is pretty simple. Extracting the new customers from the input file, counting the members, cleansing my data, and then I have a split task that that actually says, okay, when it's correct or corrected with a confidence bigger than 80%, then it's added to the staging tables, and otherwise it will be inserted into an incorrect data table. So let's run it. Right click, execute package. All checkboxes, I hope. Yeah. Oh yeah, one thing to mention is that the cleansing task is based on a particular knowledge base and on a particular domain which is cleansed on. Which you also saw in the UI to map the name column with the customer name domain. Okay, so everything went fine. So the data is staged in the customer staging table. Let's take a look. Now four records are staged. Three Albert Heijn's and one Jumbo. So there's no C1000 in here. And that's right, because I said that C1000 has to be converted to Jumbo. And what you also see here is, okay, three Albert Heijn's, Kessellaan and Akkerdonk and Beekse Straat. Kessellaan, so probably Alberto Heijn apostrophe is cleansed and corrected to Albert Heijn. And also this one, it's first searched and replaced by AH and then replaced by Albert Heijn. And also this one was a good one. So four records are eventually cleansed and loaded in the staging table. But the other ones, like this one, that one, and that one, were directed to the to another table. So let's find them. Incorrect data. Yeah, my incorrect customers. Ah, here you can see indeed, okay, the original name that came in, and it was cleansed to Albert Heijn, so that's good. But the confidence was only 0.625, and I'm doing a split in my SCS code to check, okay, if it's corrected, and if it's and its confidence is bigger than 0.8, then okay, then it will be stays. Otherwise, it will be directed to this table. There's also an unknown customer, so it is it can be found. It can be matched with any of the knowledge in knowledge database. So probably it's a new value. And then you have the letter A. Well, it is invalid because it failed the rule check length. It didn't have a length of 2 characters or more. So now manually this data can be handled, and also the knowledge database can just be extended with extra information that you got right now. So let's see if they are staged. Go to the integration part, integration management. Yeah, here you see that 4 records are waiting to be processed. Well, let's do that. Start the batch. Yes, in version 1. You have to refresh it. It's an asynchronous process. I have to refresh my screen a couple of times. And eventually it will start. Yeah, that we started and completed. 4 records have been loaded. So let's take a look in the customers. Model and entity. Customers. And here you can see that new customers have been added to the entity successfully. So, this is where MDS meets DKS. Very powerful combination to maintain your master data in your MDM project. So then, then I have a couple of references. First of all, my blog, where I blogged a lot of about master data services and some good practices, which are very useful. And on the internet, there are a lot of blogs, training videos, and ebooks available that you can use as a reference and to work on your master data services and data quality services solution. So take a look at these links. Then if there are any questions, then please ask them. And otherwise, I want to thank you all for your attention and joining this session. That was it. Thank you.